Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back. We're talking with Ilan Jorno, the co-author of Failing to Confront Islamic Totalitarianism, From George W. Bush to Barack Obama and Beyond. Also the editor of another important book, Winning the Unwinnable War. And Ilan, one of the things that has made this war, unwinnable, to use your term, I think, has been the extent to which we have this this practice of political correctness, is a term that's favored. Some people call it diversity sensitivity or multiculturalism or just not wanting to give offense or to appear being racist or bigoted or Islamophobic. But I wondered if you would agree with me that whatever we call it, however we rationalize it or justify it or dress it up, the enemy has a different term for it, different way of seeing it, and that is as submission. And if you would, what are the implications of them perceiving our behavior in that fashion?
I think it's crucial to see that in the widest sense of their goal, what they're trying to fashion is a society that is dominated by religious law. And that means that the people who are subjugated by it are submitting, are bowing to authority and surrendering their own minds and giving up control of their lives and sacrificing their freedom, basically, all the rights that we take for granted in this country. So if that's the perspective of, that's a test of success for them. To the extent that people submit to their doctrines and their control, that is an index for them of how well they're doing. And I think you mentioned the issue of the attacks on free speech, which I think are super significant and require people's commitment and understanding to see how significant they are. I think it is evidence that we're submitting and we're bowing to them. And if you, I would say that one of the things I talk about in the earlier book that you mentioned, Winning the Unwinnable War, is I go into a little depth on the Western reactions to the cartoon crisis of 2005, 2006. And one of the things that you see is that European leaders in particular, and even George W. Bush, they went out of their way to apologize. And it's not their place to apologize for what journalists do. To apologize and beg forgiveness and promise that there'll be better safeguards. And there's no way to look at that and say that they're not submitting to the demands of the people who created this crisis and who want us to surrender our principle of freedom of speech and, in effect, bow to the idea that you mustn't blaspheme against Islam, which is, I think there's all sorts of things to say about how nonsense, how much of nonsense that is, but you can't look at that from the outside and say, oh yeah, they're not submitting, they're not bowing to it, because that's exactly what we did and that's what we continue to do. And part of what's so horrifying about this is now the things have gotten so bad here in the West is that we're attacking the people who are willing to speak up and criticize the ideology of Islamic totalitarianism, allowing them to be branded Islamophobic, which is, I don't accept that term, it's a smear. And so, you know, if you recall, there are lots of incidents, and one of my colleagues, Steve Simpson, has written a book called Defending Free Speech that tracks a lot of these instances of blaming the victims now, which is, what more could you want if your goal is to make us submit, that we're now attacking the people who are not submitting?
Really, the crux of the problem, it seems to me, is dangerous as the foreign violent jihad is, at the core of the threat posed to our country by Islamic totalitarianism, to use your term, is our failure to even allow ourselves to talk about it accurately, which is, of course, is the precursor to disabling us from doing anything else about it. And let me just ask you, you, of course, as I've mentioned, hail from the Ayn Rand Institute, an entity that I think has helped carry forward sort of a libertarian intellectual tradition. I find this very refreshing, what you're saying, to be honest, because typically, in my experience, the response of many in the sort of as I may call it, the libertarian community has been, well, look, we'll leave them alone. They'll leave us alone. We're not going to tell them what to think or say. And we just want to be able to, you know, do our own thing. And yet what you've described here, Ilan Jorno, is a very, I think, clear-eyed appreciation. It doesn't work that way when you're dealing with totalitarians. Would you sort of address that sort of intellectual tradition and how it must be brought to sort of an understanding of what we're really up against now?
Yeah, I think the purpose of our government is to protect our individual rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So it's our government's responsibility as well to uphold the freedom of speech and, of course, to defend us from foreign threats. And I believe that it has failed to do that for ideological, philosophic reasons. We don't have an understanding of the enemy, and we don't feel we have a right to defend ourselves. And the people who say, if we just ignore it, it'll go away, and don't bother them, they won't bother us, that trades, and I'm not imputing this view to everyone, but often it trades on a mistaken understanding of American foreign policy, because that's a big account. You know, American foreign policy went around and created this problem. That is not the way to see it. The problem is we failed for many decades to understand the nature of the Middle East as an area. We failed to understand the ideology that's rising and ascendant in that area, and that there's a movement that seeks to obliterate freedom everywhere. And to me, you can't, if you take our lives seriously, you have to defend against that. That's the purpose of government, and it's a failure of government not to do that. So there's all kinds of things packed into the idea of we can ignore it and it'll go away, and it doesn't. I mean, the history leading up to 9/11, the years and months leading up to that were a farce of pretending that we're doing something and not really understanding who we're up against and what they're trying to do. And that didn't make them go away. That made them come back with a force, because every time we appear to be weak and submissive, and we did appear weak and submissive for many decades, that only encourages them. And we've seen that for the last 15 years in particular. And that's part of what the books I've written document.
One of the things that I keep calling people's attention to is that this isn't exactly an accident. In fact, one of the central tenets of the Quran, as you know, is that it's not enough to obtain the infidel's submission through jihad to Sharia and this totalitarian program. You must make them, in the words of the Quran, feel subdued, by which I believe it's meant that the infidel, the submitting dhimmi, or whatever you might call him, is to understand there will never be another state. They will always be, you know, enslaved or you know, worse, dead at the hands of their supremacist Sharia adherent Islamic. This is the thing that is so frightening to me as I look at the mistakes that we've been making that are so well chronicled in your books about our failure to understand and confront Islamic totalitarianism, is that far from actually attenuating the danger we're facing by trying to be accommodating or giving no offense or being politically correct or sensitive or whatever you want to call it. When they see that submission, they are actually doctrinally required to redouble the effort to make us feel subdued. And that, I'm afraid, means more jihad, and particularly of the violent kind, not less. Ilan Jorno, we'll be right back with one last segment, and we're going to talk about, so what do we do, given where we are now, given the condition we've put ourselves in? How do we confront and defeat this Islamic totalitarianism? That and more with Ilan Jorno right after this.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.